He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High will abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And I know that that's the only refuge. You understand? Last week was an extremely difficult week for many, but it's amazing that how the Lord will speak to you in the midst of storms. And right in the middle of one of those days, the Lord just opened something up to me concerning contending for the faith. And I immediately just thought of Jude, the third chapter, when he said that. If you have your Bibles and you want to turn there, not the third chapter, the third verse, there's only one chapter. So Jude chapter 1 and the third verse. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. And then if you want to turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 says, Now the Spirit speaks expressly or distinctly speaks that in the latter times some will depart from the faith or will desert the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils or demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy or deceit, having their conscience seared or cauterized with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God has created to be received with thanksgiving of those who believe and know the truth. This morning, I had a message, a very actually lengthy message from a person that was just telling me that they woke up this morning with just a real presence of the Lord around and an urgency and a mandate to get the gospel out, that you could just stand on your porch and look out and you just looking around you, there's people in that scope that need the Lord. And I'd been meditating on this and got to thinking about it. Why would he have to write? Why would Jude have to write to contend for the faith? And yet I look around at the church today that does not know that it's left the faith. And that faith being Jesus Christ and what Jesus has done. And it's substituted so many things. And it makes itself feel good because it will talk about God, but it denies the power of God. It looks good on the outside, but Jesus told the religious leaders of his day, you're like whited sepulchers. You look good on the outside, but inside that is dead men's bones. And this is what he was telling to them. You're full of death. And that's the way the church as a whole is today. It's full of death because it's left the faith. It's left the very crux of the message and substituted its own message. And so we have an urgent mandate from God to get back to where we started as far as the church in the book of Acts, to get our attention focused on the Lord Jesus Christ, Him crucified and resurrected, and what it was all about, and to make sure that that's the theme of our message, which is a very unpopular theme today. They're scoffers, mockers. As a matter of fact, if you keep reading in Jude, you'll see all that. So I will tell you in advance that when you stand up and you dig in and you take that first stand, and to contend means to struggle for, that you won't be popular with religious peers. You might be pegged as fanatical or deceived or whatever. But we'd better wake up, because it appears to me that there is a demonic power unleashed against the church to deceive. And it's so subtle that people are being lulled right into this thing and pulled away from God. They're departing from the faith and not even understanding that they've left the faith. That being the faith in Jesus Christ. The prosperity preaching, I hate to use the word, but I don't know how to say it any other way, what's presented as the faith preaching and all this, if you really scrutinize that, it's really a fleshly teaching, because it's putting its attention on the flesh, which takes you away from the gospel. It takes you away from the crucified flesh. It's telling you to resurrect what you once had crucified. You understand, in the 6th chapter of Romans, it says that we are to crucify, we're to identify with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And people want to talk about the resurrection, but they don't want to identify with the death. They don't want to identify with the burial. They want to keep the flesh alive and stroke the flesh, and consequently, the flesh has come into the church. So what you and I must do is contend for the faith that we once received. And I'm talking about not moving when this little imp sitting on the shoulder and whispering little things in your ear, not moving from what you know is the truth and the integrity of the Word of God. You get bombarded with things that'll try to get you to doubt this or doubt that, and just to move a little bit, just move a little bit. And you make that move, and then you'll get something else, and before you know it, you've moved away from the Lord. You've departed from the faith, and at the same time, you're still professing. Isn't that amazing? That's the deception of it. People today are still professing, yet they've never stopped to evaluate where they are. How close are we to Jesus? This is not the time to withdraw. This is the time to run as hard as we can under His wings, if you will. We're to get as close to Jesus as we possibly can. Make Him our refuge. Because there's a very formidable opponent out here that would like to take you out. If he can't take you out physically, his preference is to take you out spiritually, to get you separated from the one who died for you. We have to contend for, we have to struggle for the faith. This is, actually, if you look at the word contend, it's talking about struggling with an opponent, like in a competition. And that's exactly what we're doing. It's life or death. It's competing as to whether or not we'll be pulled away from the union that we once shared with Jesus and get lulled right back in to a lifestyle. Maybe it's not as hideous. Maybe we're not doing things that we once did, but it's still a fact of consuming on the flesh. You know, stroke the flesh. Your flesh needs time off. Your flesh needs this. Your flesh needs that. Your flesh needs to be crucified. Not petted, not pampered, but crucified. So that we can live our lives for Jesus Christ. And I'm going to be fair with you. In the last week, I have fought as hard as I've ever fought in my life to contend for the faith. There have been so many thoughts come to try to get you to doubt the Word of God, to doubt the integrity of God. But I know in my heart that this is true, that God can't lie. And even knowing that, fighting to keep that from being stolen from you in your mind, to doubt God. You understand? No wonder he said, fight for it. Contend for it. Don't you move. You keep going. You keep pressing. You keep preaching. You keep teaching. You keep proclaiming the integrity of the Word of God, because God's not a man that he can lie. God doesn't have to repent for any of his actions. God's not our opponent. God is for us. God's not against us. And he's calling us to him. Don't run away. Don't run away. Come to me. Get closer to me. See, I need understanding, don't you? There's so many things I don't know. There's so many things I couldn't explain if my life depended upon it. But I thought about Job a lot. Job couldn't explain anything that was going on. As a matter of fact, it was really frustrating him to the point that he said, I just wish we had an arbitrator. Just somebody to sit down, let God and me sit down and discuss this thing as to what is going on. And his friends were saying, you blew it, Job. You blew it. That's what your friends will tell you. Well, the reason you're there is because you blew it. Thank God you and I can read Job. We can read that 48th chapter or 42nd chapter. And find out the truth of this thing. That he was so thought of by God that God was not afraid to put him in the presence of the devil, knowing Job would not doubt God. You think about that. That God would trust someone so much that he would say, all right, I'm going to prove you wrong through that person's life. I'll prove you wrong through that person's life. Job had to contend. His friends, his wife. You're talking about a person alone with no one standing with him, but he wouldn't move. He fought. Until finally, God showed up, not in the way that he anticipated. Get up and act like a man. You want to talk to me? Then let's talk. And by the time God finished his discourse, Job wasn't wanting to talk. Because what he saw was God in a way he'd never seen him before. He said, I used to know him by the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes have seen him and I detest myself. But he contended and he won. You understand? I was talking to the Lord just, I don't know, 2 or 3 weeks ago. And I said, you know, if I looked around me at what's going on in the world, My mind would tell me we're losing. But my mind would have told me at the cross we lost. So you're smarter than I am. And I thought about the 24th chapter of Luke where the two men on the road to Emmaus, sad, troubled, not understanding. And Jesus coming alongside, opening the scriptures to them. Jesus had told them what was going to happen, but it was sad. Why are you sad? My paraphrase, we lost. We thought this was going to be our salvation. This was going to be the winning one right here. And he's gone. You don't understand all that, do you? Nor do I. I don't know the ways of God, but I want to. God's thoughts I know are higher than mine. I know God's ways are higher than mine. But I know this, that this is not the time to give up. This is the time that we had better fight as hard as we've ever fought in our life, not to be taken away from God, but to resist everything that would try to move us from God, to let that propel us into the presence of God. When you're getting beat up, run to Him. Run to Him. Cry out to Him. God, it's all right with God if you cry. As long as you're not feeling sorry for yourself, you're crying out to God, help me, help me, help me. It's not do my job for me. It's when you've heard the end of your rope, and like you beat your head against the wall, you've done all you know to do, and you don't know what to do. You stand with Him. You stay submitted to Him. You let the Word of God dominate your life. I'll promise you that if you do not let God's Word dominate your thinking, negative thoughts are going to dominate it, and they're going to take you away from, not draw you closer to the Lord. You'd better contend for the faith. You understand? I believe that this church is in it's a major target, let me put it that way. And because of me. Now let me qualify that statement. Because I've asked God to let this place be a headquarters for the Word of God and the Spirit of God going forth. And I see little signs that God has blessed us by giving, enlarging our territory, reaching out to people we don't know, never seen, will never see in this life. And how that is a threat to the kingdom of darkness. Light is always a threat to darkness. It's the same with the Bible college. God has truly enlarged our territory. So I'm not surprised that we're under scrutiny. I'm not surprised that there are attacks. But what I want us to know is how to counter attack. To where he's ineffective. See, even Paul said, I would have come to you, but Satan hindered me. And you know, I don't think we're getting the full picture of how formidable the opponent is. And people are saying the devil doesn't have power. That's a lie. The devil has tremendous power. the authority is what he lacks. And so he uses deception to gain authority. Because if he can deceive me, he can use my authority against me. And that's what he's done with the church. He's deceived the church, and now he's using the authority of the people against them. And the church is diminished and diminished in power, in representation. The light has grown dimmer instead of brighter. And Jesus says, in this dark world, in this perverted world, shine as lights. This should be when we're the most brilliant in this world today. Because I cannot comprehend or even imagine that it would have been worse in Noah's day than it is today. As far as the perversity, as far as the evil and all the things. I can't imagine it being any worse, or even with Sodom and Gomorrah. This is one more perverse world today. And yet God has us here because there are people all over the world that want to know truth and will respond to truth, but there must be some type of representation, otherwise they have nothing to respond to. And that representation is us. So this is a time to stand up and speak up for the faith, for Jesus, for what He's done, the gospel message. If we've ever been diligent about presenting the truth of Jesus Christ, we must be diligent today, more diligent than ever before. And contend and stop entertaining things that's trying to move us from God to get you to doubt. Well, that can't be true. It didn't work. You know, I've done a lot of things in my life that didn't work, but it wasn't because it wasn't true. It's because I didn't know how. Now you have a choice. You can learn how, or you can just mark it off as failure and say that doesn't work. Well, I'm not willing to do that. I want to know Him. Paul said, I want to know Him in His resurrection. The power of His resurrection. I want to know Him. But he also said in the fellowship of his suffering, you think Jesus didn't suffer? You think he didn't have a heartache? You didn't think things came against him? Don't you think he had attacks against his mind all the time? But what did he do? He ran to the Father. He lived much of his life in the presence of his Father. Consequently, he was charged. And so when he went out, his light was brilliant. You understand? And we're going to have to get in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ and stay charged so when we walk out, our light's brilliant in this world. That you just stand out. I was preaching in a church back years ago, and when I walked to the platform, and when I stood up to speak, there was a lady sitting about halfway back or so that absolutely glowed. And I thought, this must have been what Moses was like. It's just like her whole countenance glowed. Nobody had to tell me. I didn't know who the woman was or anything else, but I did know this. She'd been in the presence of the Lord. And I found out later she stayed in the presence of the Lord. A woman that didn't let circumstances of life alter her, and she had them. She had things that could have rattled her cage and pulled her away from God. But she ran to God. and God just emanated from that woman's life. Let's run to Him. Let's get in His presence so much. Now, you understand how I'm saying this. Don't get spooky on me and crazy. But let's get in His presence like Moses did, to where we glow for the Lord. Contend for the faith. Moses had to do a lot of contending because he had some stubborn, rebellious, stiff-necked, hard-headed people, a nation that he was leading. But he stayed true to God. Fight. And understand, I'm talking about spiritual. Fight for what's right. I think about David when he went down to see his brothers and check up on them because his father sent him there. And Goliath comes out intimidating the armies of God. The leader that's supposed to be representing God is also intimidated. David is sent, who is this? Out of covenant. Philistine, defying the armies of God. Who has the gall to stand up and defy God? And they started telling him and what the king would do if somebody would defeat him, and his brothers got upset with him. That's the way religious people are, your brothers. You start talking about the things of God, the power of God, and moving out for God, and they're the ones that want to try to suppress you and hold you back. But in the King James Version of the Bible, it says that David said, "Is there not a cause?" I'm telling you, people, we have a cause. The cause is people are dying without knowing the Lord. The cause is hell's real and they're going to be eternally lost. There's some people that I pray for every day. I don't even know if they've been in a church. They're lost. They've not been subjected to the Lord. I've just met them casually through other people and just been on my heart for some time to pray for them. And I just tell the Lord, I know you created them. And I do not want it to be said that nobody cared for their soul. I want them born again. I don't want anybody to go to hell. I can't imagine to live eternally without the Lord. I can't imagine that. But many are going to be separated from God, and I believe there's an indictment against the church. God told Ezekiel, I'm setting you as a watchman over the nation of Israel. When you see the enemy coming, you understand we're not talking about a military watchman. Ezekiel was a prophet. Not a military watchman. What's he doing? He's looking for demonic activity that's coming at that nation to pull those people away from God, the idol worship and all this type of stuff. God said, I'm setting you as a watchman. And when you see the enemy coming, if you don't warn the people, they will die in their sin. People say, well, that's not fair. Listen, God has a system set up. That system must be followed. What's not fair is us not standing up and doing our job. That's what's not fair. But He also said, if you sound the warning, and they don't listen to the warning, I won't hold you accountable. But we are held accountable for warning people, for getting the Word of God out. People must know the truth. If they don't know the truth, then they won't understand a counterfeit is not truth. The only way you know that a the only way you know that a counterfeit is not true is you have the authentic to compare it to. The church has been withholding the authentic. And when I say church, I'm talking about as a whole, the universal church. We've been withholding the authentic. We've been withholding the truth and integrity of God. The church has said, well, we don't want to offend people. The church has said, well, you know, people have a freedom of religion. They have a right to believe what they want to. Well, you have a right to play in traffic, but I have a right to warn you that that's detrimental to you. And if you don't want to listen, you can continue to play in the traffic, but if you get hit, it will grieve me. But my conscience will be clear that I warned you and you wouldn't listen. Our God's a fair God. Our God's a just God. But God has given the dominion of earth to men. We rule in earth as human beings. So we have the responsibility to represent God in earth. The only representation that God has in earth is us. And if we misrepresent God, dramatic things happen. And people blame God. An act of God. God did this. God did that. The problem's not lying with God. The problem's with us. It's us. We're to do it. We're the ones to contend for the faith. We're the ones to get the gospel out. We're the ones to stand up for Jesus. It's this generation. Don't wait for another one. Don't tell me how old you are. I don't care your numbers. That's irrelevant. Can you talk? Then you can witness. But more than that, your life can be a witness. Your life testifies of your love for God, not your message. You with me? Your life testifies of your love for God. A lot of people are preaching the message, but you follow their life and you'll find out they love themselves. Not, you know, God's not their priority. People are looking at your life. What are they seeing? Do they see a person sold out to God? Do they see a person that has a firm grip on the reality of truth and will not let it go? Tenacious in what you believe, to where you won't be moved. And so that's where God's calling us to. To where our lives are different than other people's lives. It's demonstrated by our love for the Lord. I said demonstrated. Proclamation's one thing, demonstration's another thing. It must be demonstrated. You'll know if I'm fighting for the faith by watching me, because you'll see the results. If I'm contending for the faith with everything that I have, one of two things are going to happen. I'm going to do great exploits, or I'll die a martyr. You think about it. In that 11th chapter of Hebrews, some did great exploits. We love to dwell on that in that part. That's great. And I believe the church is to do great exploits for the Lord. But there's others that are not listed in the great exploits. They're listed in the ones, now listen to this, who died in faith without receiving the promises, and the world was not worthy of them. That's God's testimony. They contended. You think about just the fact that you and I have a Bible today that we can read. Just think of how many people gave their lives. They wouldn't give up at the threat of the king. They would die before they denied their call. And I'm telling you, God's calling for commitment. You understand? Involvement's not going to get it in this battle. We're talking about commitment to where there is a cause and you're not afraid to stand up and be identified with that cause. You understand? In any natural battle, there's risk. There's risk of casualty. There's risk of fatality. Through the history of the church, it's been the same thing. That's why he says, contend for the faith. Don't move. Don't move. Don't deny the Lord that saved you. Don't get a watered down gospel, but you stay true to what you know. You stay true to the integrity of the Word of God. You stay true to the Lord Jesus Christ. You fight for it. And when people blame your God, you fight for it. You know, I'm not talking about defending God. I'm talking about you fight to not move off of what you believe. God doesn't need to be defended. What you're fighting for is keeping your thoughts right before God. Contending for the faith. So when this little demon sits up here and tries to seduce you with thoughts contrary to the Word of God, you fight it with the Word of God. You capture the thought. You bring it into captivity. You cast down imagination. Pull down any strongholds that have been built. You with me? Contend for. And we're in a day that this is no longer a cold war, but it's a declared war against the church. And we'd better stand up and contend for the faith. Otherwise, you'll find yourself moving from God. So this is what Jude was talking about. When I started writing and concerning your salvation, I was compelled to tell you, you contend for the faith. Don't give up. See, this is what happened to the Galatians. They let a seducing spirit come in and move them from what they originally believed. And Paul said, you did run well. Who hindered you? The King James Version says, who bewitched you? You understand? Deception. And there's a lot of deception going on. Don't fall for it. Don't fall for it. Contend for the faith. I will tell you, and I believe I can say this with all the conviction in the world, that Jane contended for the faith to the point that she died for what she believed. She wouldn't relinquish. And I can tell you right now, there's no question about whether or not she's under the wings. You understand? There's no question about whether or not she's been called to his side. But we have to let this be something that propels us, because her life demonstrated her love for God. And so what we should do is use that as an example, not that we worship Jane, but that we worship the God that she worshiped. You know, I thought about Ruth and Naomi when Ruth decided to return to her homeland after her husband's died, her daughters-in-law's husbands have died. And She tells them, go back. Just go back to your family. And Orpah cried. She loved Naomi, but she went back to her family. Naomi said, no. The only thing that's going to part you and me is death. I'll go where you go. Your God will be my God. I want you to think about this. Ruth was a Moabite. In the lineage of Jesus. Why? Because she would not follow the norm, the natural thing to do. Can you imagine choosing your mother-in-law over all your family? Most people can't even imagine living with their mother-in-law, let alone choosing that route. But she was loyal. Never thinking of herself, but God thought of her. Isn't that amazing? You're talking about a blessing to give birth to one that would follow suit and produce Jesus Christ in the earth. Contend. What do you believe? Does God believe what you believe? Then fight for it. Don't move. And let the chips fall where they may. My God's worth fighting for. You understand? And I understand that the battle is already won, that Satan's already defeated as far as the ultimate battle goes. We understand? It's not a surrender, it's a defeat. And he already has received an eternal death penalty. It just hasn't been executed yet. So he will try to take out as many as he can. Don't let him take you out spiritually. Don't you dare let him take you out spiritually. You contend for the faith. God's word is true. Let God be true, every man a liar. And stay with the word. Stay with the word. Keep your knees bowed to the Lord Jesus Christ. Stay submitted to God. Resist anything that's not in agreement with God. Ungodly is anything that's not godlike. Anything. A thought? A belief? If God doesn't think like that and believe like that, it is ungodly. Stay away from it. And you have to do that in your mind. That's where the battle is. That's our battle. It's getting that mind renewed with the Word of God to where we think like God, so we'll talk like God and act like God. Then people will know that we are sold out. Have something in reserve. Amen. Well, actually, we've presented what the Lord's laid on my heart. Contend for the faith. Don't let anything, any thought, move you from the truth and the integrity of the Word of God. And stand up and shine for the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not talking about being obnoxious. I'm not talking about being foolish. I'm talking about being bold for the Lord. When the apostles were beaten, they prayed for more boldness. And today we're praying for more protection. We need more boldness to declare the Word of God in its truth and its accuracy. Amen? But let's contend for the faith. That's the message.